to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in the Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Imagine the tablecloths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy resurrection.
Praise the Lord. It's great to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
This is a great time to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for this great assembly gathered here this morning. Thank you for this day and for the resurrection.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things this morning out of
yes,
your word.
Yes.
Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory, glory.
All right, we were in chapter 27. And let's see. We had just talked about the fact that they hadn't eaten anything in 14 days. Mm-hmm. Paul told them they better eat something. And let's see, so in verse 35, he says, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls, which makes 276 people." And that includes Luke, of course, because he said we. And Luke was the author of this book. Now, apparently this incident made quite an impression on Luke, because he spends a lot of time in detail, going into all the detail about, you know, if you hadn't known that he was a physician, you'd have thought maybe he was a sailor, with all of the technical terms he uses here, you know. And all the attention to detail about all the things the ship was doing, the wind was doing to the ship, and so on. You'd have thought he was a sailor, not a physician. I guess if I'd have been on that ship, it would have made an impression on me too. But anyhow, 276 people. That's a pretty good ship right there. It's bigger than the Pequod. Anyhow, when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So they did what Jonah did, what they did in Jonah's day. They threw everything out that they could get out. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, and then they knew the island, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. So this was a great opportunity for Paul. This is the quintessential fulfillment of the prophecy where Jesus said, "You shall take up serpents." Yes. This is what it means.
Right.
So true.
Serpents are supposed to bite you. They are supposed to bite you. But the venom is not supposed to hurt you. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. You shall take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you."
Right.
Okay.
Jesus.
So if you drink strychnine, it's not supposed to hurt you, but that you're not supposed to go out there and do it. If somebody puts strychnine in your water and tries to kill you because you're a Christian, that's what that's for. That's not for you to go out and tempt God. Yes, that's right. That is correct. It is not for you to go out and try to handle serpents. These folks that go around handling serpents, they don't intend to get bit.
They're stupid
because the serpents are supposed to bite you. That's the whole point. That is the point. They're supposed to bite you. But the idea is that the bite's not supposed to hurt you. Exactly what we see here. Paul was bitten. The thing fastened on his hand. And then he shook it off into the fire.
Amen.
I mean, it wasn't just a strike and let go. This thing glommed onto him. Then he had to shake it off. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what snakes do. They bite. You know. So, you know, all this snake handling is just wrong-headed. It's all wrong-headed because they're supposed to bite you, but it's not supposed to hurt you. That's exactly what we see here in the Scripture. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. This is it.
They won't bite nobody else.
Have I told y'all that about Brother McCarr in Alaska that they tried to poison his family? I lived in Alaska for a couple of years, and Bethel is a little village for the Eskimos. Eskimos, of course, but they you have to fly in to get there. There's no roads. But anyway, he and his family were living there and working. He's a pastor there, and they decided they were going to get rid of the whole family. And they had to haul water, you know, and have it in these big water tanks. They poisoned, someone in that town poisoned the water for the whole family to drink. They drank it, and they were watching. Once they did it, were watching to see that they died. They watched. No harm came to any of them, and they had a little baby. No harm came to any of them. Whoa. That's what that's about.
Nobody got sick.
They all drink
anything. Nobody got sick. This is the way it's supposed to work. This is what that scripture is all about.
Yes.
This is what the scripture means. That's what it's about.
Right there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I knew the man. Yes. True story.
You know, Brother Horton, you know, the sea tried to kill Paul. That didn't happen.
Didn't work.
And then he get to the island. The snake.
Snake tries to kill him. Didn't work.
He was supposed to have dropped dead.
He's supposed. That's right. He was supposed to have died.
Yeah. But God.
Yeah. Amen.
Paul wasn't that snake, was he?
No, Paul didn't. Paul wasn't handling that snake.
No.
That's the last time that snake will bite you, though.
That's the last of that snake.
Yeah. He put him in the back.
Yeah.
Where he belongs.
Paul knew what to do with that snake.
Yes, he did.
Amen. They tried to kill Bishop Bonner's wife. They poisoned her something. She drank. And no harm came to her.
Praise God. Who was this man?
Bishop Bonner. I used to go to that church.
Yeah.
North Birmingham.
Yeah.
And Bishop Bonner was out of Detroit. And And they went to Africa, somebody tried to poison his wife. She drank the poison, but she didn't get hurt.
No.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's powerful. That's true.
That's the promise. That's promise. Yes, that's promise of the word. Yes, absolutely right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory
Jesus.
To God.
Thank you, Lord.
And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of the fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is exactly what he's talking about. This kind of stuff gets people's attention.
just imagine the impact on all the soldiers and Roman guards and everything.
That's true. That's exactly right. That is correct. Absolutely right. That is absolutely right.
Thank you, Lord.
Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed into a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux, whatever in the world that means. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to this place, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as this place. And the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now, here's something that we want to look at in verse 16. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. Paul was in a good place. It was not in a bad place. It was not in a particularly bad place. It was not in a dungeon, okay? Mm-hmm. Paul ain't in no dungeon. Mm-hmm. He not no dungeon. Now, you know, we hear people preaching, talking, teaching about Paul spending time in this horrendously terrible place, and there were dungeons in Rome that were horrendous and terrible, but we don't see Paul in any of them. In verse 30, we haven't got there yet, but it says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house.
Yeah.
Paul ain't in no dungeon. We don't see him in no dungeon. Yeah, he was under house arrest. We don't see him in no dungeon. I don't know where we get this. We don't see it. It ain't Bible. If something's going to be scriptural, you got to have scripture, and it ain't there.
Right.
Well, maybe they take it from when they were in stocks. All the Silas were.
Well, that was in the Philippian jail, which he spent for. He spent a few hours in the Philippian jail. You got to show me where Paul was in a dungeon, a deep, dark, filthy dungeon. You got to show me that. in Rome.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. It's not in the Bible.
Right.
It ain't Bible. Now, I'm not saying it didn't absolutely didn't happen, but it ain't in the Bible. Okay? So you can't get it out of the Bible. You got to get it from someplace else. And if you get it from someplace else, it's not trustworthy. So, yeah.
How did Paul transport his money? Because Felix tried to get his money, and now he's got a higher.
I know. Now, you know, the thing, you know, the people are sending him money. Do you realize that people of the churches are sending him money? He thanks the Thessalonians and some of the other churches for sending him money. And the Philippians sent him some money. So they were supporting him. They were sending him money while he was in prison. So they were sending him money. And again, this is not, if you're in a dungeon, you know, in mire up to your neck, you know, money ain't going to do you no good. But Paul's not in a real bad place. He's able to have company. He has the chief of the Jews of the town come and meet with him, speak with him. They don't throw them down into the dungeon, you know, and slop around in the sewer. No, that's not happening. Now I don't know where we get this, but it's not in the Bible. Okay, this you don't get it out of the book of Acts. So I don't know what's going on here for sure, but I want you to pay attention to what we're seeing here. Paul has allowed a great amount of liberty. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he's under house arrest. Mm-hmm. He just can't go running around loose, but he's, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's not in particularly bad shape, and people are coming to visit with him. He's writing letters. You don't write letters out of if you're in as bad a shape in terrible situation like Paul was supposed to be in, you know, in this dungeon, in sewer running down on your head. You can't write letters. You can't do that. I don't know where we get all this stuff. But anyhow, we don't get it out of the Bible. And I'm trying to keep you in the Bible here.
Yeah.
I want you to stay in the Bible.
Did you think too that since all these things, the guards and the soldiers and everything saw him do when they got to Rome, that they actually went to bat for him?
Well, I'm sure they probably did that.
You know, can you imagine the conversation? You know,
yeah.
This is some kind of
yeah,
man right
I know.
Here. You know, that can
well, absolutely.
Lay hands on people, get bit by a snake.
Absolutely, and there's no doubt in my mind. But all of those things. Help him.
With God and man.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that no doubt happened. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see here. In verse 17, he calls the Jews together. It came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. When they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. Now here again, he's not in a dungeon, okay? To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after what Paul had spoken one after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And Brother Copeland is the last word that he's written after that verse. He's got the word favor with an exclamation point. And that is true.
Yeah.
Paul was not in a dungeon. He was a favored prisoner. He was not a suffering prisoner. He was not a tormented prisoner. He was a favored prisoner.
Yes.
So, I just want you to stay in the Bible, folks. Just stay in the Bible. Just stay there. And
in the American Standard, it says right here that he did it with openness and he was unhindered.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
You know, most people paint a different picture of his imprisonment.
I know, and I don't know where they're getting it. I don't know where they're getting it because they ain't getting it out of the book of Acts. I can tell you that. We can see that. Okay. Glory to God. Happy Easter, everybody.